Chris, obviously, right now they need to get the finances squared away because there's a number of NBA teams that are at least claiming that they're losing money. But I would have to believe one of the other objectives for ownership right now is to try and level the playing field so it's not as much the haves and the have-nots as we've seen in the NBA for the last 30-plus years. If what you're saying is true and the salary cap is still a soft cap and they go to a tiered luxury tax where you pay dollar for dollar to a certain extent and two for one after that, does that not hurt the possibility of competitive balance? Because perhaps you get a Cleveland Cavaliers or a Milwaukee Bucks or a smaller market team that's in contention, but they're literally priced out of the ability to go above the cap to be more and more competitive and try and put together a championship team. Does that not hurt the smaller markets, that tiered luxury tax situation that they're discussing?
Well, Dan Gilbert went over the tax year after year when he had LeBron there and, you know, trying to win a championship. So even though Cleveland's a small market, they had an owner that was willing to be a taxpayer.
But it was dollar for dollar. That's my point, Chris. It was dollar for dollar then. It's enough of a stretch for a small market owner to do that when he sees a championship, you know, when he feels like he could grasp it. But if you're talking $2 or $3 or $4 to $1, getting higher and higher, suddenly becomes much more difficult, at least in my mind, for the smaller market guys to stretch as opposed to the bigger markets, which have other revenues to sit back on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Lakers could pay a 4-for-1 tax if they wanted to because they're going to make $1 billion on their deal, on their local TV deal. And there's the Knicks. Look, the Knicks make money. Even when they were a tax-paying team under Isaiah Thomas and they were paying a ton of tax, they were still making money. The Chicago Bulls make a boatload of money. There's certain big market teams that are just always going to be highly profitable teams, and that's not going to change no matter what the system looks like. They're going to become more profitable when they walk away with this deal because of the way these negotiations have gone, but I think you're always going to have an inherent problem with market size, and that certain teams are going to have less money to spend than other teams. But that doesn't mean you can't put a contending team out there. Look at the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right.
They're a contending team. You know, they're probably a championship contending team if things bounce their way the last couple years in the playoffs. And they're a team that's been under the cap and well managed and, you know, rebuilt from the time they Sam Presti took over for the final year in Seattle, and they've been built into a team that's built to last now as a powerhouse for 5-10 years. And if they're going to be able to stay below the luxury tax, now who knows if they can, because a lot of their guys are going to start going into Kevin Durant's max contract is going to kick in, Russell Westbrook is going to be due for a real big raise. Are they going to be able to sustain that and still be profitable? You know, I think some of that depends on where they come out of here on the numbers in terms of the split. If the owners are having to get 54% of the money to the players, which is what the number the players are on right now, I don't think the Thunder can be profitable year after year long term with the amount of talent they have and with what they're going to have to pay those guys in their latter years. So, on the other hand, if they come out of here with a 50-50 split, that's a lot less money that's going to have to be shelled out on the Thunder than for payroll, and it could be the difference maker. And again, can you combine that with the revenue sharing that David Stern said would be quadrupled, then they get the new TV deal in 4 years. Those always go up. There's one thing that always happens is ESPN always will pay more and more, and Turner will always pay more and more to keep the NBA rights. They love them. So what it's really about, Joe, is getting this agreement set up so that in the latter years of the deal, in years 4, 5, 6, maybe 7, the owners are set up to be much more profitable because that's when the new TV deal will kick in, and that's maybe when some of the harder parts of the cap will be phased in. Because when they go to this harder luxury tax, that's not going to happen right away. It would be something that would be phased in or wouldn't be put in until maybe year 3, year 4, year 5. So that'll also give a lot of teams time to, you know, a 2 or 3 year window to plan ahead and to set themselves up salary structure-wise so that they're not going to end up being a team that's stuck paying a 2-for-1 or a 3-for-1 or even a 4-for-1 luxury tax.
Chris Sheridan, SheridanHoops.com on the hotline. Chris, real quick, because I'm up against it, got to ask you, right now, who do you think wants a deal more, the players or the owners?
Oh, that's a really good question. Because
to me, yeah. it, and again, to me, I think the owners would like to make a deal, but they claim they're losing a lot of money, so there's not all, a whole lot of motivation to get something done right away. But to me, this lies on the commissioner. This is David Stern's legacy we're talking about right here.
Yeah, and he's the one who's got, he's still empowered to make a deal, and it's his legacy deal. And he does represent the owners, so I'm going to answer owners, although the owners are a house divided. There's a lot of guys who bought teams recently who paid a premium, a lot of money, and, you know, those are really the hardliners, guys like Bob Sarver and Ted Leonsis from the Wizards. But the old school guys, the Jerry Buses and Jerry Reinsdorf, they don't want to miss a season. So I think both sides really want to make a deal. But which side really needs to make a deal more? I'd say the owners.
All right. Chris, great stuff as always. It's a pleasure to catch back up with you, my friend. You're going to have to let me know next time when you're in Cleveland. It'll probably be a while because I don't think we're going to the playoffs anytime soon. But when you are, we'll have another beverage, my friend, like we have many times before.
I look forward to that, Joe.
All right, Chris, appreciate it. Chris Sheridan, SheridanHoops.com. You can check him out on the internet, former longtime ESPN writer.